All right, well, I want to first acknowledge my co-authors on this work, Matthew Pelletier and Greg Holtz with the Lubbock Lab. They helped quite a bit with the development of this system, Matthew especially in electronics and the software programming portions, and also Mark Kelly and Randy Bowman, now of different homes, I guess. Randy's in Oklahoma with Oklahoma State, and Mark is there with Texas AgriLife Research in Lubbock. They help identify some of the producers that we worked with in doing this reliability and it basically expanded testing of this system we've been working on. So some of these slides you may be familiar with. The background here is we started out looking at this in the context of yield mapping and calibrating yield monitor systems. Yield mapping is a key component in site-specific management of crops. It helps us gather a lot of information on variation and yield through the field. Highlighting the ability to highlight relatively high and low producing areas that may not be so obvious visually. And also, those maps can be used to help drive management decisions with regard to variable rate application inputs. But calibration is critical, and so you need accurately calibrated yield maps to develop profit maps for those higher level management decisions that go on. And the final point there is with appropriate calibration procedures, those yield monitors can be used for on-farm research, but the caveat is there that you have to calibrate them and calibrate them very frequently. And so to do that, it generally requires the use of a portable scale system, which are either very expensive to own or very hard to come by if you're trying to borrow one from someone. And so thus our objective was to develop a system to weigh the cotton on the harvester for use in calibrating yield monitors and to be used as a tool for on-farm research. Our design goals were simple in design and operation, of course, low cost, easy to install, accurate, reliable, and will basically save the world. So in 13, we started, and this was our basic model that we developed. It's a moment equation. There's a lot of different coefficients and variables in there, and we measured the basket rotation angle and the lift cylinder pressure. And did some progression work to develop that model, and it worked out pretty well. Here's some of the installation images of how that system worked. This is the pressure transducer that was used to measure the hydraulic pressure on the lift cylinder circuit. Down here is the inclinometer we used on the basket to measure the basket angle and the dump rotation cycle, and then we brought it all into the cab and used a touch panel PC to do all the data acquisition and processing to calculate the weights. So we had a variety test in 13 that we use as a demonstration here. In blue, you see the reference scale average plot yields for a replicated variety test. And then right on top of that is the red line from the calibration system that we developed. Those are the average plot yields measured by the calibration system. Compared to the reference scale system, it worked very well, we thought. And then in green, you see the same average plot yields from the onboard yield monitoring system that basically go off the reservation pretty quick as you get away from that single variety that yield monitor was calibrated for. And so this helps drive home the point that we need to calibrate these yield monitors as we're using them in the fields and as conditions change, whether that be variety, moisture content, level of defoliation, whatever it may be. So 2014 came along, and our goal was to improve that system in terms of the accuracy and the reliability. We wanted to use a single basket position based on the work in 2013, and we wanted to automate the positioning of the basket to improve the system and the speed of that system. And we also wanted to improve the pressure transducer used to collect the hydraulic pressure data, as well as the position sensor that we're using to determine where the basket was in the rotation cycle. Some concerns we had, though, in reference to accuracy, we kind of broke them down by reference scale and then the system that we're developing there. And so we targeted some of our work to address each of those different items. Of course, loss in the dump cycle, that's just making sure that you get all the cotton in the basket that you're trying to weigh. Transcription errors, the guys standing at the trailer making sure that they write the right numbers down, and we came up with a way around that. Wind was a big issue, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. It's always going to be an issue, and so if you're aware of it and you know how to deal with it, then you can mitigate some of that effect. In terms of our measurement system, we improved the electronics some in 14. We added hydraulic oscillation on the lift cylinder circuit to improve the pressure measurement that we were taking. Basket vane position was something that was very important to taking or to getting consistent weight data in the field. Also, the cotton center of gravity in the basket had an effect, but we were able to get around some of that. And then also chassis angle can play into it as well. So in 14, we came up with a new system, improved electronics, as I mentioned before. We had two data acquisition boards, one here on the chassis and one on the basket that actually collected the data and took and controlled the system. Our hydraulic system was basically an add-on in parallel to the OEM valves that Deer installs on these strippers. We have here is basically just a check valve, and then a direction or proportional directional control valve that helps us to move the basket into position where we want it to be, so that the operator's not having to sit in the cab and bump the button to get to the right position. So it works out pretty well. In 14, we also went to a limit switch control system where the basket is raised by the proportional valve at high speed until it hits or actuates that first switch, and then it slows down considerably until it hits the second switch, and then it stops. We used a linear transducer. I took the picture out of the presentation, but to measure where that basket was in the dump rotation cycle, and we were able to stop it within about 50 thousandths of an inch over about 250 loads that we measured that year. So we're doing a pretty good job. Here's the model we developed. Pretty good model, very linear, and so this is the one that we went forward with in 2015 when we did our work this year. So we made some more system modifications to simplify the display and software, and we added some more hydraulic oscillation valves in there to truly isolate that lift cylinder circuit and only measure the resultant pressure generated by the cotton in the basket on those cylinders when you're in the dump rotation cycle. So we had four installations of this system this year. We have one on our stripper at the lab, which is a 2011 model stripper. They were all John Deere 7460s. We had one in Oklahoma with Danny Davis. His was the newest stripper of 2014, and then two on Mark and David Appling's machines in Crosbyton for this year. That one was a 05 and one was a 06. So here's what the hydraulics look like this year. The only difference really between 14 and 15 are the inclusion of these two isolation valves here. They're proportional check valves that go in there, and they basically lock and isolate the lift cylinder circuit so that you're only measuring the pressure on the bottom side of those lift cylinder circuits during the measurement or the pressure measurement period. Once that measurement period is over with, those valves open up, and so they allow flow through there, through the OEM valves, so that the operator can control the position of the basket up, down, or in the rotation cycle, wherever it may be. Again, we use limit switches to position the basket, and we used new, smaller touch panel screen with a fanless computer. You can't really see it in the background there, but to do all the calculations and control. Here's what the setup screen looked like when the key switch is turned on the machine. The setup page comes up, the operator enters the client farm field information and selects one of the three radio buttons here for the wind condition, whether it's calm, normal, or windy. That just determines how many seconds of data that the system will collect in order to get around some of the effects of the wind. So if you're in windier conditions, you collect a little bit more data so that you can mitigate the wind effect. And then also you enter in your header information for number of rows and row width. You hit OK and you come up to the main run screen here, and it displays some of the client farm information here, as well as the distance and area covered whenever you hit area start until you hit area stop. We have a tear function built into it now where the operator can go in and run a tear, essentially to take out the effect of the empty basket. And that also helped us to get around some of the differences in setup weight, essentially, if you want to think of it, between models, say between a 2006 model John Deere versus a 2015, that manifest themselves in terms of basket weight. And so that's a way that we can correct for that. We'll get more into the tear function here later. So the idea, when the operator goes into the field and gets ready to harvest a particular plot, he would get to the beginning of the plot, hit area start, harvest the plot, get to the end, hit area stop, and that would stop the distance counter in the area counter, which update continuously. And then once they're in position to weigh the basket, you hit the blue button, and it goes through the automated weighing process, spits out the weight, and on you go. So some of the results, looking at the data from Danny Davis's farm. So this was a variety test, replicated variety test. There are 8 varieties and 3 reps. This first graph here shows the first 10 loads data that didn't turn out quite so well. And the issue here was twofold. First, we were doing a tear routine after every basket weight that we did. And so this really gave us some insight as to how we need to operate that tear or use that tear function in the software. And so basically from this, we decided that it's best to go in and do one very good, very reliable tear at the beginning of the harvest and then use that throughout the entire plot before you move on to another field where you would then try to do another tear routine. Second, we had a software issue here where there was some stability errors going on there. It was an internal thing that we had to get around, but that introduced some error. And so we were able to address both of those issues, and the rest of the plot turned out considerably better. We got a very linear response in the weights that we were getting, with a root mean square error of about 36 pounds across there. Danny used this system on about 200 loads throughout the rest of the year. Not all of those had an accompanying reference scale weight to go with them, but he did some module checking, basically, where he would accumulate the weights over an entire module and compare his accumulated weight to what the gen told him. And in many of those instances, he was getting differences of, you know, 100, 200 pounds over a 16 to 20,000 pound module. And so it's doing a pretty good job. Looking at one of the systems from the Appling farm, again, we have very good response of the system. Our root mean square error was just a little bit higher here. We're looking into the data some more, but basically this test was harvested off of a center pivot in the first day. We harvested the inside of the pivot, and then the next day we came back and re-teared the system and harvested the outside of the pivot, and so the tear weights were just a little bit different, and so that introduced a little bit of step change difference between the weights. But it did point out here that the operator paying attention is a very important part of this. So if you're going to use this system, you need to pay attention to it. Here's some of the data from our system that was installed on our stripper at the lab. Again, it did a very good job. Our root mean square of about 30 pounds or so, which was consistent across all the machines that we had it on. So in 15, our summary observations here. I mentioned operators need to be attentive to the system. We don't have a good way in the system right now of continuously associating particular load numbers to experiment data. So for plot numbers correlated to load numbers, you really need to be attentive and write that kind of information down. It sure helps with your post-processing of the data. If you're going to use the start-stop area function, you need to pay attention to that and make sure you're hitting the buttons correctly. And also entering the client farm field setup information. The tear operations, basically the procedures for improving your weight accuracy. We talked about running the tear function only once at the beginning of the plot, but you need to make sure the direction of the machine is in the same direction as you're going to take the weights each time. That's critical from a wind standpoint. That if you're facing the same direction each time, and if you're using a reference scale, to make sure that your if your reference scale is parked north-south, that your stripper is also pointed north-south, so that the wind is impacting them both in the same direction each time. Otherwise, you're going to introduce a significant amount of noise. And also, if you want, we did some analysis on the repeatability of our system, and over, you know, the weights were very repeatable over a three-weight period. The standard deviation of those weights was about 10 pounds. And so it's pretty repeatable, but you can improve the data reliability by taking more observations, of course, per basket. And so if that that may be something that you want to do from a research standpoint more than anything. Producers noted that the system was easy to use and seemed to be very reliable. There's a few components that we need to improve a little bit upon going forward, but there are small, simple changes that we need to move to. And so that's basically where we are. So any questions?
Go ahead. Anyone's got one?
George. Hey, John, great talk. I think I asked you this last year, too, but I don't remember what you told me. What is the transferability of your system to other harvesters that use the same
to peanut harvesters? There's been some interest to move this to a basket picker system. All this work has been supported and funded by Cotton Incorporated, and so they're pushing it for the cotton industry. But it would be easily adapted to peanuts or grain or anything that uses some type of basket accumulator to transfer the material. So there's been some work actually on that, I think, at Clemson, looking at, I think, on a Modest, is that the brand of combine, that they were looking at the taking basically the same type of measurements and correlating that to weight. But so, does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
John, how many different operators have you had testing
this year? Was really the expansion of that, and we had about 6 different people operating so far. So
you said operator is a lot of critical,
yes,
variable.
Right. And
you're going to do more of that, more operator?
Yes, as we go forward. You notice the Appling farm, we installed the systems on 2 machines, and I only reported on 1 here. That's the issue. We're looking into the data off of the second machine, is because the operator was not quite as attentive to the operation of the system. The data is still there, and we're very confident that we'll be able to get the information that we're after, but we have to go through there and plot all of the GPS positions so that we can track his position in the field and know exactly where he was within the field, because he didn't write down the plot weight or the plot numbers with the associated load numbers. And so it's just a little bit of background work you got to do. So, anyway.
Thank you, John.